Norrie with you. It's been a couple of years since we talked to Dale Harder, and in a few moments we will be going live to Barcelona, Spain, to talk to an individual who has been in contact with Pleiadians as well. But Dale is an ex-NASA employee engineer, owns a couple businesses, H&H Research and HHR Exotic Speakers. He's been in the UFO field for more than 45 years and has regular visitations by ET craft. I'll have him tell you about that. Dale is an officer for the Cleveland Ufology Project, the oldest UFO club and MUFON group in the world. He is an experiencer and has worked with most of the known names in ufology. Dale, it's always a pleasure. Welcome to the program.
Hello, George. How are you? It's good to talk to you again.
I'm great. It's sad that we lost Stanton Friedman.
Yes, it is.
He was a friend. He sure was. He was one of a kind. How did you get started in the field, Dale?
Oh, my gosh, I've been seeing UFOs, as you know, since I was a child. And as I got into late teens and early 20s, I was interested in joining groups and did so. And, I've been following it, working in it ever since.
I think we're losing you on the phone, Dale. You there?
Some kind of feedback was going on.
Yeah, there you are.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
But anyway, there has been so much, George, that has happened since I've spoken to you last, and Goja is actually my partner in crime in that, and wanted to get back with you and fill you in on those details.
Okay, well, you are, of course, an experiencer, too. You're going through all kinds of things. Are you glad this has happened to you, Dale?
Oh, absolutely. You know, as I revealed on the last show, I am an E.T., and now that's, like I said, so going with that, that's where we're picking up.
Let's pick up now. When you say you are an ET, explain that.
Well, if you remember, most viewers may not, but if you do, from the last show, I told you that I came in. I was born into a physical body.
Mm-hmm.
I was sent here on a Vanguard group to help some 64 years ago. I was left on the doorstep and so forth, had no family ties or background. And all of this was pre-planned, of course, from the soul level and where I came from the Pleiades and from the individuals that played a part in it. So after I got here, and of course I remembered preparing for it, being on a ship, not wanting to come at the last moment, the whole nine yards. And so I finally, after an entire lifetime of being around UFOs, ETs, everything, and working for NASA and Honeywell Aerospace, it literally every day of my life, ships come to me all the time, things like that. But probably more importantly, some major things have happened, and I have literally met and am in contact with my Pleiadian, Tegetan Pleiadian family, who are now in orbit as we speak.
What does it look like, Dale?
This particular craft is in a relatively low Earth orbit, a little over 300 miles. It's 2,200 meters long, which makes it about 1.6 miles, 70 meters wide, and it kind of has a futuristic gun-like appearance, if you will, long and slender, looking like a fancy space gun. But it has four major power reactors on it, which are zero-point energy, crystal zero-point energy, and all different kinds of other technologies that are so far beyond human technology, it's unbelievable.
And I've got to ask you, too, why are they here?
Why are they here? A loaded question.
It sure is.
Or they're here because they've been trying to assess, actually, contact with humans, with humanity. They have tried so very hard to make themselves known. And, still everybody is looking in all the wrong places or expecting all the wrong things, just like old SETI pointing all the radio waves out into deep space when they're right here in front of us.
But they're not that obvious to us, are they?
Yes and no. For those that are willing to look, yes. For those that want so much proof in a nutshell, they're not going to get it. You also have to remember that we are constrained by the Prime Directive.
Where exactly is the Pleiadian star system?
I'm sorry?
Where is the Pleiadian star system?
It's called the Seven Sisters, the constellation, the Pleiades. And that's varying somewhere between 440 and 442 light years away.
How many civilizations are out there in terms of planets?
There are several. We are the Taygetan Pleiadian race. That means our sun is Taygeta. We're from the planet Era. There are many other Pleiadian races. They're not quite the same as us, but we are all related.
Who is the Swaru?
Swaru is our captain of the mission that is here right now, and she controls basically all the mission parameters for contact and so forth. And so she's definitely in contact with Goja and myself and Robert.
And most of the Pleiadians, I would guess, I've been told, you know, look human, or humans look like Pleiadians.
Exactly. They do indeed. And that's one of the things that people find so difficult to accept, George, is the fact that the Pleiadian race looks very much like us. Everybody always expects these really unbelievably looking horrific ETs, or the, you know, the usual sci-fi stuff.
Right. And there are some out there.
Yes, there are some out there, but not the Pleiadian.
You have a video called Why Are You Here? Tell me about that.
Why are you here? You mean on Goja's site?
Yeah.
Well, let me give you just a little quick story. It wasn't that long ago that I, after I had talked to you, made the video and so forth, the ships had still been coming, different things were going on. But I got to actually get involved with and become close friends with Goja. And she is actually responsible for putting me in the position of allowing my family to find me and to bring me home, as it were. But before all of that transpired, I reached out to her with an email, and something that she rarely does because of her being so busy with what she does. She never has the opportunity or rarely answers emails, but for some reason she needed to answer mine. She felt necessary. And it turned out that we were kind of related. We got along very quickly, developed a very close friendship. And through her efforts and being in contact with the crew and with Swaru, they actually at some point held a Taygetan Council meeting and decided to bring me into this and literally confirm for me who I am and what I am. So everything that I have known and felt my entire life was then given to me. And I got to tell you, that was probably the most unbelievable experience of my life.
What is the longevity of a Pleiadian, Dale, in terms of Earth years?
It can be anywhere from 900 to 1,200 years.
My gosh!
Yeah, and that's basically linear time, George, but, you know, it's, people don't really die. We don't die here. They don't die there. Most of the time, I tell people, I said, well, they just get tired and they want to move on to a higher level. Huh. They don't really die. They just kind of leave.
What is your mission now, Dale? Now that you're here, now that you were born here, what is your mission? What are you supposed to be doing?
You know, I always thought, because of who I was, what I did, that I wanted to be another Tesla, George. I wanted to actually change the world by storm. And I worked at that very, very hard. But for some reason, that never seemed to focus, never seemed to gel. It was either financial or certain problems. It wasn't necessarily for a lack of capabilities or smarts, if you will. It was just the opportunities never came to do that. And so for a very long time, even though I've had what I would call a very successful life, I always felt that I had failed in my mission and didn't even fully understand what my mission was until Swaru actually helped me to understand that. And she explained to me that from their point of view, which is 5D, and that's fifth density, not dimension, but the fifth density, and ours is the third density, that I have had a high enough frequency my entire life, and of course it is evolving, that I have been able to affect everything and everyone around me just by being. And they felt that that was a life very well spent and a very good mission. And so that's what I continue with on a daily basis.
Good for you. I want to get into your thoughts about the planet in a moment in terms of what's happening, not climate-wise, but in terms of human-wise, to get your take on it, and how the Pleiadians and others out there might be thinking about we Earthlings, because this is a crazy planet these days. But how do you stay in touch with them, Dale?
I'm sorry?
How do you stay in touch with them?
We use several methods, but mostly we do it on a computer chat, a special program that we use.
Computers? Really?
Yes, and we're actually in touch with them as we speak.
It's like a chat room?
Our chat room, yes. Very special. It is exclusive.
Well, would I like to hack into that one?
Yes, Benny would.
And what are some of the things the byplay is like? What goes on?
What goes on?
Mm-hmm.
We discuss all manner of things, George. Council meetings and things are held, of course, on the ship. But Gosha runs a website where she publishes the videos that have to deal with a great deal of the information that Swaru, Annika, and Brother Dor are giving us. And at this moment, there are more than 85 videos available on that site with more information than a person could absorb in a lifetime.
And in terms of the messages, how often are they in touch with you?
We are daily.
That's interesting.
Yes, absolutely.
Do they warn you about impending things?
Yes, we do discuss different things that are going to affect each of us. Our personal safeties, the planet, et cetera, yes.
Are they concerned about your safety here on this planet?
Absolutely.
Are you?
Yeah, yes and no. Comes with the territory.
When you started as this, who are your parents?
Don't know. I have adopted parents that were wonderful to me and raised me.
Do they know what you are?
I'm sorry?
Do they know what you are?
They didn't quite understand at the age of 5 and 6 when I was running around telling them all these crazy things that I remembered from the Pleiades.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't quite understand it when I started building lasers at the age of 6 and repairing all the appliances in the neighborhood at that age. So, no, they didn't quite understand, but they were very good in that they humored me and they helped me and mentored me.
If there was an asteroid coming this way, would the Pleiadians get in the way?
No.
They would not stop it?
It's not their job.
Really?
No.
Why not?
They can help. They can guide. There are so many things that they can do. They definitely remain outside of certain Earth parameters. You have to remember that the Prime Directive controls almost everything that we do. And that is probably the main reason why they cannot be very overt and make themselves visible. They couldn't land in your front yard because of that for certain. But it wouldn't even do any good if they did. Because believe me, you wouldn't believe it.
There have been a lot of UFO cases around nuke sites. Were they Pleiadians?
Not necessarily. You have to remember there are a great number of races that are visiting this planet right now. And we think Geten Pleiadians are just one of the small races, just one race that is here.
Including the reptilians.
There are reptilians here, but I'd like to state for the record that the reptilians are not as big a deal now as everybody seems to think that they were. They are certainly around, and, you know, they have had their skirmishes and so forth with our race as well as others, but they are not really the biggest problem for humanity right now.
Were they once?
Yes.
What happened?
Well, as you know, like I said, there's been the wars that were fought, there's been control and things that were fought, but now it is mostly a war of minds. It's mostly mind control, George, and we live in a 3D matrix.
Back on the planetary systems of the Pleiadians. Mm-hmm. What does it look like?
What does it look like?
Yeah, I mean, what did the cities look like? Are they skyscrapers? What are they?
Well, actually, you know, I don't remember a lot of it myself. I know what I have been told by my sisters, but the best person to describe that for you will be Gosha.
Okay, well, we'll be getting to her shortly. Yeah, tell me a little bit about her before we bring her on.
Ah, fantastic lady. She really is. You know, she's tireless, works around the clock to produce the videos and so forth. Basically, gratis, lost a relationship of a long period of time because of it, gave up a job and a business because of it. She's become extremely dedicated to our family and what she does, and she's very good at it.
She's from Australia, but she's in Barcelona, Spain now these days,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
All right, she'll tell us what got her over there. And,
oh, yeah, she'll fill you in on some of those details for sure.
Yeah. Is there an ongoing battle or war in space between extraterrestrials?
There are some skirmishes and things that take place, but it's not the all-out battles that everybody envisions or gets the idea from the sci-fi stuff. It's not quite like that.
Well, it sounds like, I mean, you're not painting a panacea here.
No.
But it doesn't seem as evil as most people think.
That's correct. And you hit the head on the nail on the head when you said, as most people think. It is a question of mind control and what humanity has been led to think and to believe. We are our own worst enemies, George. We have created the situations that we're in. And it's up to us to break that and to wake up.
Were the Pleiadians responsible for abductions and cases like that? That's not the race that does
that. Our race does not abduct. We're way beyond that. We don't use chips like dog collars and so forth. That's ridiculousness. This race is far too advanced for that.
What race is doing that, Dale? Somebody is.
There have been races such as Greys and things that acted on orders for others. There have been other races that are without the confines of the Federation Council or without the Federation itself. There are a great number of federated worlds, but there are still those races that exist beyond that.
It's truly remarkable, it is. And you would say, I mean, what is their structure of society like? Do you know? Do they talk about that?
It is a holographic society. Everyone there basically lives to do what they enjoy, to contribute by what they enjoy. There is no economy. There is no Babylonian money magic system like we're all stuck under here. You know, everybody lives to enjoy, to experience, to spread education, things of that nature. It is a society that every person not only contributes, but you also have to remember in a 5D and higher, 5D plus society, that they also know each other's thoughts and share each other's feelings. There are no lying. There are no secrets, okay? So you're not going to get away with the kind of things here. And there's no competition, no need to be. If you want to be on a council, you'll be on a council. If you want to build ships, you build ships. If you want to lay on the beach, you lay on the beach. There is no need to do as we do here, get up, eat, sleep, work. That doesn't happen.
That's pretty dramatic. Stay with us. We're going to come back in a moment and talk to Gosha. And I'll explain in a second who she is next. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. In a moment, Gosha joins us live from Barcelona, Spain, as we talk about her situation with the Pleiadians as well. Dale Harder still is with us, too. Next hour, we'll take phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Dale Harder with us. And Dale, we're going to bring Gosha in with us. And let me introduce her with a degree in comparative religion from the University of Queensland in Australia. Gosha was also born in Poland, now lives in Barcelona, Spain, traveled the world looking for adventures, is now in contact with beings who, as we know, as Pleiadians. She will be conducting a workshop, by the way, in Ufology World Congress in Barcelona in September. Gosha, welcome to the program.
Hello, George. Hello. How are you? Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here with you.
I'm looking forward to this, and we've got Dale on the line as well. Hi, Dale. Say hi to her.
Hello, Gosha. How are you, dear?
Hello. Hello, Dale. Nice to hear you. Nice to hear you.
And, Dale, you feel free to jump in any time here, okay?
I will.
As we carry on this discussion, and we'll take calls with you, too, next hour here. Gosha, tell us a little bit more about yourself other than the bio that I just read.
Other than the bio that you just read about myself, okay. I don't want to make it too long about myself because I want to focus more on the information that Tigers and Pleiadians are giving us. But yes, well, I was born in Poland. When I was 22, I left, as you well said, looking for adventures, looking for, well, any kind of spiritual revelations and discoveries, as I felt it was my spiritual quest in a way. I lived in different countries around the world, different continents. I was always very interested in metaphysical subjects. I studied comparative religion in Australia. So all this journey led me to Spain, Barcelona. Well, actually, a few years ago, 7-8 years ago, I opened a metaphysical shop with the same name as now my English channel, Cosmic Agency, which then I closed. And this slowly but steadily led me to the contact with our Tigers and Pleiadian crew, which, by the way, I have to set the record straight here. It's very important to note that the term Pleiadians is very generic, okay? Within the Pleiadians, there are so many different races. As I understand, there are 11 interstellar races, and within that, there are subdivisions of other races, not all of them interstellar. And I'm only, and Dale is only representing the Tigetan Pleiadians. They themselves don't like to be called Pleiadians. It's very misused and abused and distorted by the New Age. They don't like that term. They like to be called Tigetans.
Which is what you are, Dale, are you not?
Yes, I definitely am Tigetan Pleiadian and was confirmed by my crew.
And Gosha, you're a human being, though, right? You're not an extraterrestrial, I assume.
I would call myself a starseed.
A starseed. But an earthling starseed. Right? Mm-hmm. Are you an earthling starseed?
I would call myself a starseed, yes, as millions of us on Earth, by the way. There are so many extraterrestrials incarnating on Earth. It's another rare phenomenon. There are thousands of us, and we are here, cavalry, and we are here to help and to assist from within. We are the troops on the ground, and so that's how I perceive myself as well.
When your initial contact started, what happened? How did this begin for you?
Okay. Well, it's quite a long story, but I will try to make it short. I was actually introduced to them by Robert. Robert is my friend here who I'm also working with, and he has been presented to them first here in Barcelona about 2 years ago at the Ufology World Congress through another lady. Robert from the channel Despejando Enigmas, it's in Spanish, he's also my partner in crime, like Dale called me before. And this is how we started the contact. As Dale explained, it is using the technology of the internet, as it is the technology available to us, to the humanity at the moment. Because according to the Prime Directive, one of the Federation regulations which they go by, is that no developing civilization can be contacted through the means of through the technology that is not available to it yet. So before the arrival of the technology of the internet, they have used other methods. Telepathy was used, for example, very much. But now they don't like to resort to the telepathy anymore because it is prone to a lot of distortions, distortions. Sorry for my English, by the way.
No, you sound fine.
Yeah, thank you. So they don't like to use telepathy anymore because of that. It's prone to imaginations and to personal interpretations. So the next available technology to them that is more reliable is the internet. They are right now in the orbit of the Earth in the fifth density. They are very close. They are much closer than any of us imagined. They are right here, right in front of our noses, and they use the technology of internet to communicate with us, which, by the way, they are not the only ones who use this technology. There are so many other races who are also very closely watching and communicating with the humans through the social media, through the internet.
Goshar, what is their interest with planet Earth, in your opinion?
Well, it wouldn't be my opinion. It would be exactly what I know from them.
All right.
Because it's very important for me. You see, that's why this is the beauty of communicating with them live through the internet. There's no distortions here. There's no my opinion here. I'm just presenting facts as they are, what we are told, and we are sharing exactly almost word for word what they share with us. So their interest is primarily, as Dale explained, to examine and assess our readiness for the official contact. Okay, that's one of their primary reasons. They are also assisting us with the so-called ascension, because that is truth. We are actually growing into. Okay, how would I say that? There is a lot of energy coming from the center of the galaxy, positronic rays that are contributing to the raising of the overall Earth human frequency, which is propelling us toward the 5D. Fifth density. They are watching this process. They are monitoring and helping and assisting and guiding us through this process because it's imminent. Sooner or later, our Earth will be in a 5D. So they are assisting and learning, examining the situation. They're also assisting their star seeds because the star seeds operation has been going on. Well, in a way, we all are star seeds, but the recent, the more recent star seeds, as I would call them, it's been in the second half of the century. So they are assisting their star seeds. Every extraterrestrial race has their star seeds here on Earth. They are also actually monitoring and removing cabal operations. They have taken care of the majority of the reptilian problem. Mm-hmm. As I heard in the beginning, you were I don't know if you or the producer, you were announcing our show as the Pleiadians against the reptilian battle.
Right, and right, that was
it's
me.
It's actually been taken care of.
It's done?
Care of. It's
Absolutely.
Taken care of. It's not actually the biggest problem. The problem is us. We are the ones who are generating the matrix, the system. We are maintaining it. It's our own attitudes that we have to rewrite. And go ahead, George, ask me questions because I could
sure.
go on like this forever.
Do they believe in a divine creator, as we would call God?
Okay. The concept of God is strictly Earth concept. They don't have the Earth. They don't have the God idea as we have it here. They don't have any religious system. It's strictly Earth system. They have a concept called a source, which can be compared, or as Baruch likes to say it, unified field. So basically, we are all part of the source as holographic fragments of the soul. So we are all source. Every one of us, the real people, because by the way, there are also matrix non-real people. That's another story. We are all source. So we carry that within ourselves. We are the creators. So that's how they would. That would be the closest to what I would say God. But it's, they don't say God.
Well, they do not, but they do believe in some kind of creation.
Well,
something started this somehow, right?
The source is an energy field. It's the ether, and it has always been and always will be. It is without beginning. It is without end.
Exactly.
Unlike the universe, as we think is 13.7 billion years, it is not. It actually is infinite. and our 3D science has not yet caught up to that.
How many
exactly.
different...
Very good point. Sorry.
Goshar, how many different civilizations are out there in the universe? I would guess millions.
Infinite.
You're right.
Infinite.
Hundreds, thousands.
Life is the norm, yeah.
So many. It's infinite, and there are so many of them that are in contact with the humanity. There are others that are not so much in contact. They are more observing, and then there are others that they don't want to be known at all. So it's a whole zoo out there, as I would say, but in a good way.
In a good way.
Yes.
Interesting. Fascinating indeed. And in terms of, your situation, Goshaw, I mean, you're in regular contact with them. Have you been up in their craft?
I have not been on their craft as far as I know. It's not a physical contact. It is using the technology of the internet, and we also had the privilege and the opportunity to have the audio communication with them twice.
Interesting. Now, if I use the phrase Pleiadians, I'm not going to offend them, am I?
Somewhat.
You're not offending them, but it's kind of like you. I would keep calling you, for example,
Earthling.
Earthling, yeah. Or if you call me European. No, I'm Polish. No, so they take pride in their society. They take pride in who they are, and also because there are so many races out there, and each of them has its unique, specific personality and characteristics. Represent something different, and and Taygetans are very important here in the orbit. They are actually the leaders, next to maybe a few other races like Andromedans. Taygetans are the leaders in this whole process of liberation of the Earth, because there is, like Dale said, battle for us, but it's mostly mental consciousness, mind battle for the humans.
Goshar, have they solved the problems of disease and death and, free energy and things like that? Because if they have, why don't they share it with us?
Oh, boy. That's a loaded question.
In their society, they absolutely have.
So why don't they help us with that?
Dale, you want to take this or should I?
I could throw in a few points. If I miss anything, you can pick in.
All right.
Part of it is, again, the prime directive. They have learned, and we have learned that over eons of time, that jumping in there and giving other planets technology exactly as you saw in Star Trek, that it generally leads to great issues, and it will either cause divisions or wars eventually. And so it is very carefully thought out, very carefully looked into, even with first contacts. Technology is not always the answer. The answer lies within the human itself, and that means that we must have the wisdom, the ability to apply those technologies correctly, with understanding. Giving technology to a baby or a gun to a baby is a very dangerous thing. And we are a very, very young or infantile race on the scale of the 0 to 10 scale, for example. We're not even the 0. We're at 0. And we're talking about a race as the Taygetans are one of the most advanced races anywhere in the universe.
How old are they? If we're 4.5 billion years old on planet Earth, Dale, how old might they be on their planet?
They have been around for billions of years, George, and they have migrated from several places. And many people have assumed, of course, Lyra, and that is correct. That is one of them. But they have migrated from many places, and they have also been where we are. So that's something that we must keep in mind.
Goshar, you've got a workshop coming up in September. What will you be doing there?
Yes, me and Robert, actually, we're both invited by the Barcelona Ufology World Congress just to give a speech. It's not going to be really a workshop. It's going to be a presentation where we will basically explain to the people that follow us, because from what I understand, it will be mostly people who follow our channels. We'll be able to share our experience. We will not share so much the information, because the information between me and Robert, we have over 200 videos loaded with profound, very interesting, very deep information on all kinds of fields. And so we will be sharing more our personal experience with them, our personal contact.
And you've got a lot of those linked up on YouTube, correct?
And did I what? Excuse me?
You have them on the YouTube channel?
Yes, of course. It's all free, available to people on our channels, yes, in Spanish and in English, because I'm doing both. On English, I'm a bit behind because I started the Spanish one, but now I'm trying to catch up and do everything in my English channel. And believe you me, the information is as astounding, and it covers so many subjects, from science, from genetics, free energy, navigation. They're explaining how they navigate their ship in details right now, actually, because we have communication almost every day. There she, Varu, the leader of the Tigerton fleet, she's explaining to us in detail how their ship functions, motors.
All right, hold on for a second, Gosha. We're at the top of the hour, which means in this taking calls in a second. We've got you and Gosha on. Gosha, if you were invited to the United Nations to make a speech about extraterrestrials, what would that speech be?
Oh, my.
Oh, my God. Long. That speech would be long. I had so much to say, and I would share so much. It would be very interesting. I wouldn't even know where to start. I just want to say that the main message, okay, I would probably just focus on the main message here, is that, seriously, people are living in a false reality. Apart from the fact that, and we didn't even get to that, apart from the fact that from the moon, there are frequencies being, what's the word? There are frequencies from the moon that are projected onto the Earth that are suppressing our consciousness and our frequency, okay? That's why we are locked into the 3D matrix reality. Apart from the fact there is a false system of the matrix set up on Earth, lies basically everywhere, religions, government, science, everything is false. So people need to realize that they are the ones who are actually maintaining and generating this matrix, supporting the matrix. What they really have to do is to raise their perception beyond the lies, beyond the system, and integrate more and more in their perception, because with their perception being raised, their frequency increases, and they can get out of this slowly. It's really on them. They need to get out of the victim mode, stop waiting for saviors from the outside, just because they are out there and helping and assisting, because they are and have been for millions of years. The job and responsibility is on us, and we need to rediscover that power within us and start taking action. Start taking action daily life, starting from simple things. And start to reprogram that matrix, because something I didn't explain is that matrix from the moon, it's actually kind of like a living machine, and it reads our thoughts and intentions, and it actually picks up on that, and it gives back to the humanity what we put into it. More about this is explained in our videos. It's a very complicated subject, but we need to just basically realize the power that we have. And they are not here to save us. They are not angels. They are not our saviors. They are not some mystical creatures. They are people who have been here assisting us, but the main power is on us. We are the ones here, the real troops. And I could talk and talk. So.
That's good. How about you, Dale? What if you were invited to the UN?
Same thing, you know, along those same lines. It all comes down to the fact that, and we have actually, as we've been talking, and as Faru and the team has gathered their information, regarding contact and so forth, and made their final reports only within the last weeks, if you will, and arrived at their various conclusions. But it has come down to basically learning that humanity itself is its own worst enemy. We are the ones that are creating what we are experiencing here, even now. It's not being perpetrated on us. This is not the prison planet. The reptilians are basically out of the picture at this point, and we have been, you know, have not been reduced to ash or anything of that nature. We are creating our experiences according to our beliefs, and as soon as we can change those, the better that we're going to be. At this point in time, we have not learned to do that. We are still struggling with everything that we experience every day. And so the mentality that we have as we live every day is perpetrated on and on and on. We need to concentrate on raising our frequencies as high as possible. And we do that by eating the correct foods, get away from the damn GMOs, get away from all the sugars, get away from the things that are making us fat and sloppy, and thinking high thoughts.
All right, let's take some calls for both of you. Let's go to Jeff to get things started in Santa Rosa, California. Hi, Jeff. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, George. Dale, I've been waiting for you to get back on coast so I could ask you this question.
There you go.
Glad you're here. And Doja, thank you for being on the other end there. I'm glad I get to talk to both of you, because I'm not sure which one will be able to answer this.
All right, give it a try.
All right. In 2012 of May, I ran into my first artificial intelligent humanoid, AI lodge in living flesh and blood. I had read Plearn information, scant Plearn information about them. And at about the same time I finished my research in that area, it turned out one of my coworkers that I had been with for 5 years decided to expose one of his systems in his right eyebrow. Basically, it was a dish antenna that was intertwined with what appeared to be hair, human hair, eyebrow hair, and it was crosshatched. And then about 2 weeks later, another coworker exposed one of his systems. He was a UNR student also. And it was a crinkled fish line that came horizontally out of each of his ear canals and was supported with some other milky white, see-through, hollowed fish line that looked like crinkled fish line that acted like support beams. That was in 2012, and it's been 7 years, and I've discovered many different systems from these artificial humanoids. And I'm wondering if the Plearn, or the, well, you said you were the Tigetan, I believe it's the right pronunciation.
Tigetan, correct.
Are in charge of these particular groups, because there's vast numbers of them in the United States, and I assume it's also global.
Can you answer that, Dale?
To my knowledge, no, we're not in charge of that kind of thing. I do know that there are clones, that there are those bodies that are created that are trying to infiltrate and do infiltrate into our technology and our systems. They're always trying to attack us. They can be artificial intelligence, and they have what they call a soul detector and frequency detector, and this technology is designed to detect such beings. So they are so good at this point that even my family has a hard time troubleshooting them to actually find them, and so they can infiltrate. But to my knowledge, we don't use that type of a being ourselves.
And Gosha, crop formations, any idea what they may be for and who's doing them?
Oh, yes, of course. the mini crop formations, well, first of all, mini crop formations are done by people, okay? That's just one explanation,
right.
Of course. But many crop circles are done by the Federation, and many of them are Andromedans. Because the Federation of United Planets, I believe that's how it's called, from what I remember, is the main organization, galactic organization here around us, the Federation, we call it. So Andromedans and Tigetans form part of the Federation, as hundreds of other races. And the Federations and Andromedans are one of the ones, some of the ones responsible for the crop circles. Yes, they are real. They are coded messages. They are even, and that's interesting, I didn't know this, they are even actually kind of like messages between the races. They leave to one another. They're coded information to leave to another race to kind of say we've been here or something.
Go ahead, Dale.
Yes, there are markers, yeah. Graffiti and markers, all sorts of things between the different races, which was very interesting to hear Swaru tell us more about that. And each one has a specific meaning. So they are all different races and so forth. But they certainly are not all created by the two old guys that were in the U.K., Not a possibility.
The crash at Roswell in 1947, either one of you know anything about that in terms of where it really may have come from?
That's actually something I never really asked about. I do believe that it occurred, but it is not from our people that I'm aware of.
How about you, Gosha?
Yes, this is something I have never really discussed in detail either, that we have so many subjects that we go into. However, there have been many ships that have been retrieved and that have crashed. However, none of them Tigetans. Tigetans have a more superior technology, and it's not really easy to get them down. Yes, but I don't know about that in detail. You know, we kind of need to move on from the Roswell incident also. You know, they have been here, and they even expressed this to me sometimes, that many UFO researchers are still stuck on these older stories.
Yes.
And
yes.
This continues. They are ever-evolving and dynamic race. There's a lot more going on right now. It's actually changing every day, every month. There are new strategies. There are new things happening. And the UFO investigators are still looking kind of the wrong places. And they are looking with a 3D perception. What they have told us very specifically is that a lot of UFO investigators are looking for the 3D for the 3D answers to this 5D phenomenon. They are looking a lot at the physical manifestations of these crafts. But you know, there are people behind those crafts, and they are saying hello, and they have been here. So there's so much more beyond the Roswell incident and beyond all this.
Okay, next up, let's go to Max in Sokovia, Texas. Welcome to the program, Max. Go ahead.
Thank you. Hello, Dale and Gosha.
Hello, Max.
George.
Hi.
It's a pleasure to talk to you. My question is, the late William Tompkins on Project Camelot was saying that the last three presidents before Trump were reptilians, and I wanted your comment on that.
Last three presidents before Trump were reptilians. Which one was that?
Whoa.
Can you verify that, Gosha?
I would probably not go into details in this subject. However, yes, there is a huge and very profound reptilian influence in politics, and not only politics, actually cloning and copies of people is a very common phenomenon. It's actually quite a widespread phenomenon and very dangerous. So that's where I would leave that.
Go ahead, Dale.
Yes, I would say the same thing. I think that anytime anybody thinks that anything is wrong, they tend to run right away to the reptilians and blame it on them and make them far more prevalent than they really are. There are definitely reptilians out there, but not every one of them, not all the presidents, not every person. And there are every one of them that has their own agenda as well.
We're going to Barry in Rock Hill, South Carolina, who himself may be an E.T. Hello, Barry.
I'm a spaceman, all right.
Yes, you are. We don't know what planet you're from yet, but we know you're here.
Well, I might not be a spaceman, but I'm spaced out.
Well, sometimes.
George, I've got a great question for Dale Harder. But first of all, let me, for you, I lost my sister, George, 14 years ago to lung cancer at 60 years old, and I'm still brokenhearted about it. But let me say that I can feel what you do about losing your sister. But my question is, do you think that cell phones and this high technology stuff contributed to your sister's brain tumor?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
Yes, I do. I'll just leave it at that for now.
Okay, leave it at that. Hey, Dale Harder, what a pleasure to speak with you. And I've got to say, if the Palladians, which you claim to be one of,
yes.
And I apologize for using that word because I know it offends you all, but anyway.
They get Palladian, that's all.
Yeah, well, if y'all lived from 1,200 years, do you expect to live here on Earth for 500 or 1,000 years?
No, first of all, you have to remember that I am speaking in linear time, which is the kind of thing we experience on Earth. In Tegeta, where we're from, and even on the ship where the 5D is maintained, we have time is fluid for us, okay? It does not pass or exist in the manner that the people are used to here on Earth. And so it is possible to actually be in the past, present, and future at the same time. And a period of a number of, say, 100 years could pass here on the planet, while it would only be about 25 on the ship.
Gosha, in terms of questions that you may have asked them, what I'm curious what you might have asked them, what you were curious about.
What did I ask? What did I not ask? I've actually been known to be one of the most inquisitive ones. I'm always asking millions of questions. Oh, my gosh.
They probably say, oh, no, here she comes again.
That's why you do the videos, G.
Yeah. What did I ask? That's a very interesting question, George. I didn't expect that, actually. I asked so much. Oh, my gosh.
Everything
next
from
question,
A to
next
Z.
Next question. Hit me with something else.
Literally, everything from A to Z. No question.
Yes, everything.
We just have to pick.
I'm going to give you a curious fact.
All right.
Because I'm an animal lover and I love dogs. I have two dogs.
Oh, good for
I'm
you.
About that. Just like a curious fact. Do they have dogs? They don't have dogs. Dogs is a human invention. They have cats. They love cats. Actually, they have all kinds of cats on their ships all the time, but they don't have
dogs. No dogs, huh?
No dogs.
They're missing out.
No.
Yes, they are.
Let's go to first-time caller Hunter in Tennessee. Hey, Hunter.
Hey, how's it going?
Great. Good to have you with us.
So I was wanting to ask if they think that Trump's Space Force is an attempt to eradicate the Pleiadians.
Good question. Interesting question. The Space Force that our administration is contemplating, Dale, do you think it's to fight some kind of war in space with ETs or something else?
Well, I would like to say that as far as I'm concerned, that Space Force has existed already for a very long time. Go all the way back to Reagan. Okay. People don't really know truly what's going on. But it's not so much to fight with us as Tegetans being here, but it is to isolate the planet Earth from all the rest of the species that are out here as well. And that's just his quaint way of saying, okay, I guess we're going to look at this problem, when really they've probably been dealing with it for more than 70 years. So it's part of the secret space program stuff that's going on out there that, as you remember, Tompkins was part of as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Gosha, any thoughts on that?
Just one. Space Force. You have to remember that a lot of what's going on out there is a plain theater. It's just for the show, for the masses.
Well,
so
that's a good point, too.
It's just not happening.
All right. When we come back, I want you to tell us on how people can watch your videos. We'll take more final questions with Dale Harder and also Gosha. And websites and links are all linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Don't forget to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. We've got our own YouTube channel as well, Coast to Coast AM Official, which you can just put in the search bar. We've also got the icons at the top of the corner, the right-hand corner, at coasttocoastam.com. We'll be back with final questions with Gosha and Dale Harder as we talk about extraterrestrial life. Fascinating discussion, really is. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Gosha with us along with Dale Harder. Final questions as we are. Gosha, and tell me a little bit about this Ufology World Congress in Barcelona. Tell me about that.
Well, it's a third edition, I believe. They have started 3 years ago inviting all different types of people. Actually, I think 2 years ago, Corey Good came, Laura Eisenhower, Michael Sala. So there are different types of people from all different walks of life, you know, in this field. And this year, I think, how do you say that name? Michio Kaku will be?
Michio Kaku, the physicist. Yeah. Great guy.
Quantum physicist. The first time in the Ufology Congress.
That's pretty big for him. I mean, he believes in extraterrestrial life. I'm not sure he believes they've come here, but that's pretty dramatic that he would become part of that.
Nick Pope will be there as well.
Oh, Nick's a great guy, Dale.
Yes, he is. Good friend.
Good people. Good people. You know a lot of people in ufology, Dale.
Yes, most of them.
There's some of the. Did you know John Mack or Bud Hopkins?
Bud Hopkins, yes. Of course, he's now gone. But
we miss him.
Yeah.
Let's go to final calls for both of you. Let's go to Scott in San Diego, California, west of the Rockies. Hey, Scotty, go ahead.
Hey, Mr. Lori, good evening. Mr. Dale, Miss Gosha, thank you so much. I had a terrifying experience happen a couple of years ago.
Oh, no. What happened?
I had my first and only astral projection. I was resting my eyes wide awake. At nighttime, and out of the darkness, there was this twinkling white light, and I couldn't tell if I was imagining it or not. I realized I wasn't. There was an explosion of white light, and then in front of me was what I would call the God particle. It was the intelligent design that they've been talking about, mathematically speaking. After a few seconds of not believing what I was seeing, understanding what I was seeing, it came right at me. There was a physical sensation that went through my head, down through my throat, my heart, my lungs, my stomach. I felt like a balloon. And the next thing I know, I'm in the darkness, and this intelligent design that was in front of me, I'm now sitting inside of. A white ghostly figure came around from behind me to my left. It was a giant white head, kind of blowing. No breeze, of course, but it just looked like it was amongst clouds, if you will. After about a minute of this, feeling just completely immersed in love like I've never known before, I opened my eyes, realizing I can open my eyes to check myself. When I opened my eyes, everything around me was made of these things. They were infinite. They were streaming. It's round, so it gives it depth. It was the matrix that we have wondered about. I've seen it. I've been inside it. We are all in on and of it. I was inside of this thing, and it's been terrifying me ever since. I met somebody a year later that claimed to be in charge of everything, and I think you know who I'm talking about. He said he was going to destroy me. And
well, you're still here, my friend.
I understand, and I'm hoping that y'all can reach out and offer me some help after the show at some point in the near future. I can tell you exactly what it looks like.
What do you think's happening to him, Dale?
Wow. That one, I really can't comment on, George. I don't have the knowledge for that.
Gosha, how about you?
I'll be completely honest. I cannot hear exactly because it's I'm on the phone and your caller is also on the phone, and I don't speak English very well, so I didn't pick up everything. But I know that there are a lot of things happening out there in the dream state, in the astral state. This is all real. The 4D, the fourth density is a reality, and there are all kinds of beings dwelling in that realm. So anything is possible, and it will have to be examined more carefully in order to give a better answer. I'm sorry if I can answer.
How can Scott reach you? Can he get through your websites to find you both?
I don't have an email.
Yes.
That's
I mean, he's obviously plagued by something, and
yes.
Sorry, I really can't offer much more information than that. we know a lot, but we don't know everything.
No, that is true. You know, in
before we continue, if I may,
yeah,
I'd like to jump in too, and I hate being incorrect, and I want to correct a statement that I made earlier regarding the secret space program. I have been informed by Captain Swaru and my intelligence officer Annika that my information was a little bit out of date.
Oh, really?
The secret space program has actually been impounded by the Federation as of late, so it has happened recently, but they are no longer free to roam about and cause the issues that they have caused in the past.
Interesting. Okay, thanks for that update, Dave.
Thank you.
Mike in Grand Forks, North Dakota, welcome to the program. Hi, Mike.
Hi, how's it going?
Okay.
Thank you for taking my call. Dale and Charu, I love your enthusiasm.
Gosha,
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I'm a little nervous. So anyway, my question would be three part is like, how would one like myself or somebody contact or communicate with these
ETs?
Whatever you call them. And what kind of music do they like? And do they have any philosophers? Or what kind of philosophers?
All right, interesting. Are they in the music, Gosha?
They love music. Oh, my God. We were just talking about music yesterday with Varun.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting thought. Here on Earth, they are amazed with the variety of our music. And you know why? Because here we have an agglomeration, accumulation of starseeds from all over the place who come here with their influences from their planets. So here we have this great variety of music. They love our music. They go crazy. She told me yesterday they go crazy with our electronic music. They love to dance. They are very happy, joyful. They love music. They love classical music and epic music as well.
All right, Mike, what else you got for us? Mike?
Well, as far as their philosophy, do they have philosophers or do they have any philosophers from our planet that they like?
Any philosophers? And what's your last one?
Oh, it's like, how would somebody like me or somebody contact them or communicate with them?
All right. Do they come to you, or does he have to go to them, Dale?
Well, at this point in time, George, there are so many thousands, if not even millions, of people that wish to speak to them. It's just not possible. And it's also in direct violation of the Prime Directive. So it's not something that usually is accomplished at this point in time. At this point in time, there are very few of us on the planet. I would say less than 8 that they are communicating with. And there always must be a source of disbelief maintained so that everyone is protected on both sides. So while we get asked that a lot, we very respectfully must say that they just simply cannot contact them or that they cannot speak to the people here. So we are acting as the liaisons and the ambassadors, if you will.
Gosha, tell us about the video. Why are you here?
Which video? You mean why are they here?
Is it why are they here? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Which video are you referring to?
How many do you have?
How many videos do I have? I'm sorry. I have in my Spanish channel over 150. You mean why are they here? Is that what you mean?
Is that the one?
There is one, I believe.
One you and I were talking about earlier, Dale. And then
why are they here? I think there's one in English on the. You've got 85 there, right, Gosha?
You mean the motives of their presence here?
No. The video that you have on YouTube.
We're talking about the separate video that I made, the 5-minute video, Gosha. The one where I requested that they show themselves, that they. Talk to us. It's only available on the Spanish site.
Ah.
Yes. Oh, okay.
Beta.
Well, then Dale, you can talk about that one. Yes.
Okay. Well, that goes back to my original story and how I originally was contacted. It's quite a long affair, actually, to tell how that happened. But suffice it to say that after a long bunch of things that occurred, before I actually met with my family, I made the 5-minute video on Goja's site. Goja, I can't remember the name. It starts Lameda something. And it is a site that she made for people to make videos a few minutes long and to ask the Tibetans to please stay here and to please continue to help the planet Earth. And so I made that 5-minute video, and I told them, you know, pretty much how I felt after being alone for 64 years and fighting the fight by myself. And but even though I was strong, I was not harsh. I was not disrespectful. And apparently what I had said reached their hearts, and they decided to have a council meeting over me. And that's when they decided and found that I am a confirmed Tibetan. And so being one of them and part of the crew, they then initiated the contact because of that. But that would not necessarily occur very often.
Okay, let's go to Andy now in Norwalk, California, as we get close to the end here. Andy, go ahead.
Yes, great show, George. Yes, I'd like to address my question to Gosha.
Okay.
But at the same time, I want to begin by saying that I say what I'm saying very respectfully. I'm not putting you down, and I'm not prejudging. Okay, Gosha, I came from the same roots as you did of Polish ancestry. My dad was from your country, from Poland, and my grandparents on my mom's side were from that country as well. And these were people of great faith. They would die for their faith. And you know something? I would, too, because I believe in my heart that there is a supreme being, a creator that created all of us. And I believe that in these last days that are coming upon us, there's going to be great deception like the world has never seen before. And even the elect, the most highly intelligent people, will be fooled by messengers of deception. Messengers who will sound and act and create miracles that will be so convincing, they will fool the smartest and the best of the best. So I say to you that in this time, we are seeing great numbers of people who claim that they are being abducted. I've met several myself who have claimed this. I have been told by a bodyguard to a very, very high government official, very high, who told me, if you saw what I saw, and he told me this a number of years ago, he said, if you saw what I saw, your mind would not be able to handle it. And so, and he had the look of like shock after all these years. It's like he wanted to talk to somebody, but he's sworn to secrecy. So all I can say to you is that I wish everyone the best, but at the same time, keep your faith. Keep your faith in what you know in your heart of hearts is true, because these are the final days when the great deception and the great tribulation will fall upon this earth. And the forces of darkness will use every trick and scheme like they did during the time of that before the great flood to take down as many people as they can. And yes, it is about our thoughts, and it is also about our beliefs and our faith. And thank you very much.
Well said, Andy. Well said. Gosha, do you want to react to any of that?
Oh, my gosh. I would love to. However, with a little time, I'm not sure if I'm able to respond to all
of
it.
You've got a minute left.
Okay, yes. Well, that's hard. I will share this with Dale. I will go for 30 seconds. Spirituality is very important to them as well. As I explained, they believe in the source as an absolute energy field behind everything that exists. And we are source, and we are divine in that way. So it is important to keep faith and to keep your spirituality and your connection with life, with a greater self. However, it's not through religions, and they are very clear about that. The religions were set up by the cabal, basically, all of them.
All right. Dale? And we'll wrap up, Dale, with you.
I will simply follow up with this. We all have faith. Goja, myself, our crew. But you have to remember that we have been where humanity is, okay? We have spent thousands or even millions of years in evolution. And so at some point, maybe a million years from now, humanity may be where we are currently.
Well, that could
be. Therefore, they will understand as they evolve with their religious beliefs and their faith and their ideas and understanding.
Dale and Gosha, thank you for being on the program. Really appreciate it. The links are linked up at coasttocoastam.com. On our next program, Bill Foss joins us tomorrow to talk about the Akashic Records and then a special tribute to several Coast to Coast guests who have passed on.